Welcome to a recording from the Aldi Journalism course. Here we have an extract from the talk by Sam Leith, the literary editor of The Spectator, on how to write a book review.
I'm very privileged to do the job I do because I love reading and I love writing about reading. But I think that it's worth putting aside a little and saying, you know, most people who write about books are not, you know, academics. They're not, and indeed, you know, English literature academics are generally regarded as a slightly kind of, you know, fuzzy academic discipline in any case. So basically, you compile it, almost anyone can review a book, and now one of the great joys of life is that almost all of us can review books publicly, and there's Amazon, there's blogs, there's all sorts of ways in which you can write about books. But as I say, you know, when we're talking about, you know, the sort of amateurism of journalism in general, I'd say one of the most important things to remember, it seems to me, my point of view, is when you're writing a book review, it needs to be a piece of journalism, like any other. It's not a separate thing. And so it needs to be something that will appeal to a reader in and of itself. You can't either assume the reader has read the book or assume the reader is going to read the book. So you want to try and be entertaining and engaging. And that, certainly when I'm commissioning reviews, the people I go back to again and again are the people who really make something sing on the page. Now, what a book review is for is a question worth asking. I don't know whether anyone's got any ideas. And perhaps this is very obvious.
To
sell the book. Well, it's not necessarily sell the book, but it's for the readers. It's for some readers to say, is this book worth your reading? Now, I make that distinction, which seems a very obvious one, because there are different sorts of book criticism. And the one I'm going to be talking about from such knowledge as I have is writing book reviews for mainstream publications aimed at the general public, which is to say, an academic book review is going to be a different thing. If you look at English literary history or social text or a serious academic journal, the review is not really interested in whether or not the book is, you know, there are lots of things that you can do in a middle-brow book review that are completely irrelevant to the academic's work. So an academic will be looking for, you know, what this adds to a particular field for the specialist. What's new in it, which of course we're interested in, but it's almost exclusively what's new in it. You know, does it make tiny mistakes? Or how is it sourced? Does it cover the whole material along the, you know, is it familiar with the previous work on the subject? And it can ask, you know, it's a totally uninteresting question such as, is this book well written? Is this book boring? Does this book justify its 800 pages and its £35 cover price? All of which seem to me to be questions that the middle-brow book reviewer is absolutely entitled, in fact, probably required to ask. You're fundamentally start from the position that you're telling the reader whether or not a book is worth having. And depending on which publication you're writing for, you will assume a certain readership, but always think, who am I speaking to? Because that is quite important in setting your tone of voice, your range of reference. You know, if you're reviewing, say, a new biography of John Betjeman for the Journal of the Betjeman Society, you can assume more knowledge generally in your readers than if you're reviewing it for the Daily Mail or Daily Express or, you know, some other more mainstream publication. And the other thing that's worth bearing in mind is that not only does a book review need to stand on its own, it also needs to, you know, be aware that sometimes it's a substitute for reading the book. People who read weekly newspaper books pages, they'll very often, you know, mostly non-fiction, a bit of fiction, a mix will vary according to which newspaper you read and which sort of market it's aimed at. But even, you know, a non-fiction review is very often a way of saying, here's an enormous book you're not going to read, but it's got some really interesting stuff in it, and here's what it is. Likewise with fiction reviews, you know, someone like me who works in the literary world, I kind of need to know what's being published. I need to know whose reputation's up and down, who's got a new book out, one of the candidates this year, the Booker Prize, and I'll hope to read a lot of those books, but there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books, works of fiction published every single year. Reading newspaper books pages allows me to be abreast of what the literary culture looks like. So you're very often offering a snapshot of people who haven't read the books and might not. Now, reviewing non-fiction, well, actually, before I go on to the distinction between non-fiction and fiction, I'd say the first thing you do before you sit down and write a book review, obviously, is read the book. And how do you read a book? Well, we all know. But as a critic, you read a book slightly differently in that you read it with a pen in your hand. And I find this is a wonderful way to read books because you know you're going to write about it, because you know you're going to pull your thoughts together. Having a pen makes you sort of, I mean, you don't literally have to read the pen, you'll have an idea, actually. It just makes you aware of clocking things that you might use later. Now, everybody who reviews books regularly has a different way of going about it. My way of going about it, which may cause some of you to wince in despair, is I like to write on the books, and I dog-ear the pages, and I generally set aside the frontispiece or the, you know, title page, whatever the blankest page at the front of the book is, for making notes. And on that page, I will scribble down anything that strikes me. Very often, as you're going through a book, the things that strike you won't be things that you know you're going to, for sure, you're going to use later. But they're just things that interest you, or that strike you as odd or unusual. It might be a turn of phrase, it might be a funny anecdote, it might be something that strikes a chord earlier, but what I find is that by the time I finish the book, those things have produced us, coalesced into a sort of map of the book. So I'll notice an unusual usage, say, a writer talks about, you know, the rain slanting down against the window. I mean, this happened in a Pat Barker book, actually. Then a few pages later, I think the rain was slanting against the window again, so it was slanting, you know, note of the page references. And it turned out to be a tick. And by the end of the book, I had something like 15 references to slanting rain, which made a very unkind but very easy and effective paragraph in the book review.